Welcome now to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and as promised, live music we have for you in our studio for the first half or so of the Midday today. If you're at a concert on the square in Madison or have attended one of the Masterworks concerts of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, there's a good chance that you would have seen in action Jennifer DeRoche. Welcome to the Midday.
Thank you so much for having me.
And when you're not performing for the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, where else are you performing?
So I also am the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra's harp director. So I'm often on stage conducting our harp ensemble or sometimes playing alongside of them. I also play in the area locally, sometimes just at weddings or some local
events.
Thank you. Yeah.
And there's a lot of harp literature by composers whose names are not familiar to most of us because we don't get to attend harp concerts that often. And so two of them will be represented by what you're going to be performing for us today. And so tell us about David Watkins.
So David Watkins is a European harpist. He is a big composer and performer. So he first studied in London and then studied in Paris and then went back to London and has kind of traveled all over Europe primarily. He does still tour and do some concerts nationally and internationally, but his primary, I think, is composition, and this particular piece is one of his most famous pieces.
And this piece comes from, I have to spell the title of the larger work from which it comes. It's Petite Suite, but Suite spelled S-W-E-E-T, which right away sounds appealing. And the name of the piece that you're going to be playing, though, kind of conversely, is?
So it's Fire Dance, which he dedicated to Mildred Dilling, who I believe was a friend who's also a harpist.
Here we go. Thank you. Fire Dance, it's called, from the Petite Suite by David Watkins, played live in our studio this Friday afternoon by my guest, Jennifer DeRoche. You teach a lot of young students how to play the harp, and what would be the first two or three things that you'd have to tell them?
Some things we talk about with the harp are keeping our thumbs up high and the fact that we don't use our pinkies. So it's interesting, a lot of young harpists try to first grab with their pinkies. So we usually start off primarily just playing with our pointer fingers and practicing closing our hands. But yeah, they always try and grab with all five fingers, kind of like piano, you know.
Does a manicure come into any of this harpist maintenance?
No. I usually try and stay away from manicures. Makes your nails heavier.
Well, there you go. There's always a trick. Eat more Jell-O or something to keep those nails. How much do you use the nails?
Not too often. However, in this next piece, actually, there are going to be some nail glissandos. You'll hear some funky sounding glisses that will be played with the nail. Whereas usually we do play glissandos with still our fingers. With still our fingers, with our,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that sounds safer.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you've mentioned it, this is actually a set of pieces by a composer who's associated, I think, almost entirely with the harp, but in a big way.
Yeah. So this next set of pieces, it's from a group of eight dances, and we're playing five of the eight dances. And they're all by this man named Carlos Salcedo, who is a pretty big name in the harp world, primarily because he introduced a lot of new harp techniques, quote unquote. He worked alongside a dancer and did some fun things that added some flares when you're watching the harp. So he uses a lot of like arm movements that aren't typically done, that does change slightly the sound of the instrument, which is kind of cool.
Does it? I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah.
And so this is a series of five dances, and what sort of dances are they?
So the first piece I'm playing is a gavotte, and then I'll be going into a short minuet. All the pieces are kind of almost in this like ABA form, start and end. Then there's going to be a seguidilla, followed by a tango and a rumba at the end.
Sounds pleasantly spicy, and these are all by Carlos Salcedo from a set of eight dances. Thank you. Evocative of tropical isles, which I suppose a lot of people think about at this time of year, with a snowstorm coming in for much of the country, including parts of Wisconsin. That was a set of five pieces out of a total of eight by Carlos Salcedo, the composer who brought you Traipsin' Through Arkansas. Have you ever played that one, Jennifer?
No, I have not.
That's it's his take on the Arkansas Traveler. It's a cute piece. Check it out and come back and play that the next time you're around.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I have to admit, the first piece, the gavotte, sounded to me kind of Scots-Irish.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit
kind of like a
Welsh sounding. Like, yeah.
Right. And, of course, there's a great body of Welsh and Irish folk tunes for harp, and Scottish, too. But the Irish and the Welsh, particularly.
Yeah, definitely.
So what kind of repertory is... when we talk about orchestral harp context is really the juicy parts for a harpist.
I really enjoy playing Mahler, and because he uses a large range of the harp, and so does Copland, where he'll use like very high notes and very low notes, so you get to kind of be all over the instrument. But I mean, particularly ballets and operas, they're always, you know, the wedding scenes and the death scenes, funeral scenes. There's always tons of harps, so those are always a blast.
I love those funerals. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You ever feel that you're sort of getting lost in the orchestral wash?
Hopefully not. Hopefully you can cut through the orchestra, right? That's always the goal. Sometimes in like some larger instrumental works, like Strauss pieces that are really heavy.
Richard Strauss.
Yeah, there's not always... the harp is not always the primary part, you know. Usually we're playing and it's like just harp and flute or harp and cello or and with him he adds the harp into the whole orchestral sound, so that sometimes you feel like you're just a part of the big wash of sound, you know.
Play louder, always, play louder.
Yeah, that one you're like bleeding fingers, right, playing as loud as you can.
One more from my guest today here in our studio, Jennifer DeRoche, and we mentioned that two of the three composers are known as harp composers, but this one, well, he did write for harp, but a lot of other things too.
Yeah, plenty of other instruments. So this is by Handel, G.F. Handel, and it was actually transcribed for the harp by a man named Tiny Bion.
Okay, and it's a Passacaglia.
Yep. So we've got a theme, and then about 10, 12 different variations off of that theme.
Here we go. Passacaglia by Handel. Thank you. have to wait for that last note to die out, but you give it a little help too, don't you? You have a damper when you play the harp.
Yeah, so we often muffle our strings, so we touch our strings back. Sometimes in like more modern music, like in the Salzedo, we touch our strings a little bit faster to shorten the strings, make them a little bit more staccato. This we bring a little bit longer, but
sounds like quite an operation. But harpists make it look so graceful, don't they?
Sometimes.
Well, it's certainly been the case today. It has been a great treat to have you back on the midday, Jennifer DeRoche.
Thank you so much for having me again.
And we'll look for you out and about in the performances by the Chamber Orchestra or wherever else you may, at one of those weddings or funerals or whatever it might be. Weddings, we'll hope.
Hopefully weddings.
Yeah, okay. Look forward to that.
Thank you so much.